Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. Father, we ask that in a special way today you would speak to your people. Bless us, Lord. Strengthen us. Set our hearts on fire. Yes. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We saw that in the book of Luke, chapter 24, Jesus had a Bible study with his disciples. Two of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And we saw that the Bible study was so powerful that in light of the massive loss they had just experienced, their hearts, the Bible says, were set on fire by this Bible study. What an amazing Bible study. The Bible tells us that Jesus, beginning from with Moses and the prophets, expounded unto them in the scriptures all the things concerning himself. Jesus was revealing that the key to our happiness is found in the Word of God. Amen? Not just in the Word of God, but as we go to the Word of God and seek to find Jesus in all the scriptures, something begins to happen in our hearts. Our hearts begin to be set on fire. Amen? And so today, before we begin, I want to set your hearts on fire a little bit. Is that okay? Yes. We're just going to go back to the scriptures, back to the book of Genesis, and just find Jesus and behold him in the scriptures. Is that fine? Yes. So I want you to turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. This is just warm up for the sermon. Is that okay? Because we need our hearts to be what? On fire, burning, amen? Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. And so the Bible tells us here, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be what? One flesh. According to Genesis chapter 2 verse 24, God tells us that when a man sees a woman that he loves, he leaves his household, he leaves his father and mother and goes to that woman, and they two become one flesh. Did you know that Jesus is in this verse? Did you know that Jesus in heaven saw a woman that he was interested in? Oh, man, you're not feeling me. Yeah, yeah. And he said, Father, you know, there's this girl that I like. That woman was humanity. That woman was the church. And so Christ left his father's house. Amen. To become one flesh, taking upon himself our flesh, that the two would become one. Heartburn, anybody? Do you know in Genesis chapter 3 that as the first Adam laid his life down for his wife Eve, you realize that's what he did? So the second Adam would lay his life down for the church. Amen. But instead of Adam and Eve dying as a result of Adam laying his life down, as a result of Jesus laying his life down, we would live. We would find life. How about this? Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 40. And I want to share with you another story very quickly. Just warm up. Genesis chapter 40. And this is the story of Joseph and the baker and the butler. You guys remember that story, right? And I want you to check this out. Genesis chapter... Now, how many of you know that Jesus is in this story? You know Jesus is in this story, right? But he's not where you think he is, though. Because I know what you're thinking right now. Yeah, Joseph and all we talked about the other day. Well, check this out. In Genesis chapter 40, and beginning with verse 13. And so the Bible says here, in fact, let's look at verse 13. Yeah, verse 13. And so the Bible says, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand, and after the former manner when thou was his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. You see, Joseph was in bondage. He was in captivity. And there's this guy, we don't know his name, he's simply called the butler. And what's interesting about the butler is that the butler had been falsely accused. You're not... The butler had been falsely accused, and yet, according to the story, after 3 days, he would be restored. The butler. The butler. And if you're still not getting it, remember what Joseph said to the butler? He said, remember me. Oh, man. Remember me. Well, when the butler is restored to his former position, he intercedes on behalf of Joseph to get him into high places. Heartburn, anybody? Is that not exactly what Jesus does for us? Did the thief on the cross not say to Jesus, remember me? Was he not restored to his former position after 3 days? Wow. How about this one? Go with me to Leviticus chapter 12. Leviticus chapter 12. Warm up, guys. This is just warm up. Leviticus 12, beginning with verse 1. Leviticus 12, verse 1. The Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman have conceived seed and born a man-child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. According to the days of the separation of her infirmity shall she be unclean. And in the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. And she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification be fulfilled. Now jump with me to verse 6. And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priest, who shall offer it before the Lord and make an atonement for her, and she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. So let's break this down very quickly. And then we're finished with warm-ups. Hopefully your heart will be on fire and prepared and softened for the message. Amen. So, here is a woman. We're told that if the woman bore a man child, a man child, the child was to be circumcised after 8 days. But check this out. The woman was then pronounced to be unclean and could not enter the sanctuary until 33 days were up. 33. At the end of 33 days, a sacrifice was to be made. That sacrifice purified the woman and gave her access to the temple. Jesus ministered how long? 33 days. He was the male child, according to Revelation 12, born to the woman. And after 33 and a half years, he gives himself as a sacrifice, which purifies his church, giving her access to the temple. All right, that was warm up. Are we warmed up now? Hearts burning? The message is entitled, The Embrace. You see, beloved, even in the mess of Jesus, how many of you ever heard of a man by the name of Waldo? Anyone ever heard of Waldo? You know who Waldo is? Yeah, remember those little kid books? And on every page of the book, you knew that who was there? Waldo. Well, guess what? Jesus is on every page of the Bible. If we would open our eyes and look for him, we will see him in places we never thought. Search the scriptures, for these are they which testify of me. And so even in the messed up stories, Jesus is there. Even in the messed up stories of the scriptures, we can find dimensions of the plan of salvation. The story we're going to be looking at today is the story of Jacob and Esau. I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 27. When you're there, please say amen. Genesis chapter 27, and this, I have to tell you, is one of, if not perhaps, my most favorite sermon ever to preach. I love it. Oh, man. I hope you just get excited right now. So check this out. Genesis 27. Genesis 27 and verse 1. It says, and it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim. And I have to stop right here and just ask you to say praise the Lord right now. And I know you're like, well, praise the Lord for what? Isaac's eyes being dim? I don't get it, but you're going to get it. Isaac's eyes were dim so that he could not see. Amen. Oh, man, amen. Wow, check this out. He called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old. I know not the days of my death. Now therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat, that he may bless thee before his death. Pause right here. How many of you get what's happening in this story? Rebekah overhears this conversation between Isaac and Esau. And she goes to her favorite, Jacob, and says, Jacob, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go in and I want you to get the blessing that belongs to your brother. Is that messed up? That's a messed up story. That's a messed up story. Now, how many of you, if you were Jacob, would be like, Mom, what are you talking about? I'm not doing that. Would you originally have said that? I'm not Esau. But look at what she goes on to say. Verse 11. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I will bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. So Jacob says, all right, I'm going to go do it. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. How many of you would be nervous, by the way? You're kind of like, man, you know, how's this going to work? What is Mom up to, right? So he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved, and Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hand and upon the smooth of his neck. Do you see what she's doing here? She's dressing Jacob up in Esau's clothing. And she even has the planning to put hairy hair on his hands so that he feels like Esau. How many of you would be super nervous right about now? Verse 17, she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared unto her into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? Isaac knows something is up. And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that my soul may bless thee. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. All right. Is Jacob messed up in the story? Is this a messed up story? But beloved, I'm going to tell you something, that even in messed up stories, even with messed up people, you can find Christ in the midst. So, what is this story? Why are we talking about this story? Well, listen carefully. Let's recap. Who is in this story? How many people in this story? 4. Isaac, Esau, Rebekah, Jacob. All right, now. Let's see who they are. Who is Isaac? He's who? He's the Father. Isaac is the father. Okay. Who is Esau? Which son? Oh, Esau is the firstborn. Well, that's interesting because what you have here is the father having a discussion with the firstborn. The favorite, his favorite. Now, you also have Rebecca, right? And Rebecca hears a conversation between the father and the son. And what Rebecca does, that which she hears, she goes to the one seeking the blessing. How many of you are seeking a blessing? Are you seeking a blessing? Beloved, listen to me. If we were to drop the titles, let's say we dropped Rebecca and we dropped Isaac and we dropped Esau and we dropped Jacob and we just looked at the positions of these individuals. Father, son, one who overhears and equips. You're not feeling me. One who overhears conversation between father and son and says, hey, if you want the blessing, this is what you have to do. Does that scenario sound familiar to you? Yes. Yeah, do you realize that the Father in heaven and his Son have a conversation? They're like, hey, Father says I'm going to bless you. But the Holy Spirit, whatsoever the Holy Spirit hears, he says, hey, you want to be accepted before the Father? This is what you need to do. Listen, we need to make you look like the firstborn. Oh man, you're not feeling me. We need to make you look like the firstborn. So guess what Rebecca does? Rebecca covers Jacob in the clothing of the firstborn. Watch this. Go back to me. Genesis 27, and in verse 19, Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I've done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless thee. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou brought it so quickly? He said, because the Lord God gave it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. You see, Isaac knows something is up. And so you know what he's going to do? He's going to investigate. He is going to investigate. Wait. Something doesn't sound right here. Verse 22. And Jacob went near. How many of you would be trembling right about now? Yeah, how many of you tremble when you hear about the investigative judgment? Beloved, I'm going to share with you right now what needs to happen for you to pass the investigative judgment. So listen, the Bible says, Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. You see, beloved, listen, praise God, Isaac's eyes were dimmed. Do you realize that God, in order to give us a chance to be saved, dims his eyes? All right, I'm going to give you a chance to show me that that you are hidden in Christ. You see, beloved, if we want to pass the judgment, guess what? We better be covered in the garments of the firstborn. So the father says, okay, come. Let me feel. And the first thing he does is he feels his hands. Beloved, you and I want to pass the judgment, guess what? We better have the hands of Jesus. You understand what the hand represents in Scripture. It represents the actions. Our actions better reflect that of Jesus Christ. What are our hands being used for? Are our hands being used to bless others? Do you have the hands of Jesus? So I can imagine Jacob reaching out his hand and terrified. He's reaching out his hand saying, please don't let the investigation end here. But it doesn't. Because watch what happens next. Verse 24. It says, he said unto him, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, bring it near me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And the father, and his father Isaac said unto him, come near now, and kiss me, my son. All right, how many of you would really have passed out right here? It's almost like Isaac is like, yeah, you know, but the voice, the voice is Henry's. But the hands are the hands of Jesus. The voice is Tina's. But the hands are the hands of Jesus. But he says, come near, because I feel your hands, but you know what? I'm not sure yet. So he comes, he calls him closer, and he says, kiss me, my son. And when he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. He smelled him. What do you smell like? Ah, you smell like the field. You smell like the field. Oh, let me smell you. Oh, yes, yeah. Now I know it's my son. Why? Because my son is in the field. All right, you're not feeling. No. My son is in the field. That's what my son does. My son is out in the field. You want to pass the judgment? You better have the hands of Jesus. You better be covered in the garments of Christ's righteousness. And you better be in the field. And so he finally says, okay, verse 28, therefore he gives him this blessing. And we think, okay, great, the story is, it ends right there. But actually, it doesn't. Man, I want you to check this out. Do you realize that in the judgment, the Godhead is conspiring to save you? The Father is like, all right, I'll dim my eyes. The Holy Spirit is like, Jesus is like, okay, I'll provide the garments and covering. And the Holy Spirit is like, and I'll tell him exactly what to do and how to do it. Beloved, the judgment is not about God trying to see who he can have lost. It's about God trying to see who he can have saved. Amen. And they are conspiring to save you. But you see, it doesn't end there, because in a sense, listen carefully, in a sense, Jacob is not only a type of us. Please listen, don't, you know, I know this story is messed up. Are you with me? I know the characters. What Jacob does is wrong. What Esau does is wrong. What Rebekah does is wrong. So I'm just saying, forget the names and look at the roles. Even in the messed up stories, we can find dimensions of the plan of salvation. Watch this. You see, as Jacob stands before the Father, not only is he standing as one who is seeking the blessings, you know, in himself, but in a sense, he's a type of Christ, because he stands before the Father covered in a sacrifice. He is covered in animal skin, standing before the Father to receive a blessing. This is exactly what Jesus Christ did for us at the cross of Calvary. He stood before the Father as a sacrifice to receive a blessing on our behalf. Christ in all the scriptures. But check this out. You know what happens, right? After Jacob leaves, then Esau comes. And he's like, wait, what just happened? Right? Because the father's like, I already blessed someone. And Esau's like, well, what? And so he gets angry. And what does he say? I'm going to have Jacob what? Killed. And so what does his mother tell him? Tells him to leave. He tells him to leave, right? She tells him to leave. And interestingly enough, Jacob never sees his mother again. He loses a mother. He loses his mother, yes? Check this out, guys. Jacob stands before the Father as a sacrifice. Reminds us of Jesus where? At the cross. After he receives the blessing, he goes away. After he receives the blessing, he goes away. Okay. While he's away, he finds a bride. While he's away, beloved, guess what he's doing? He's working for his bride. Oh, man, y'all, no. What, is silence a new excitement? Beloved, listen, just as Jesus Christ stood before the Father as a sacrifice, he then too goes away. He loses a mother but gains a bride. Old Testament Israel, New Testament church. While he is away, what is he doing? He is working for his bride. Not only is he working for his bride, beloved, he is multiplying unto himself sons and daughters. But there's more. There's something else Jacob is doing while he's away. Now, how many of you remember that he was working for Laban? Right? And the time came where Laban was like, you know what? I want you to work for me. And he began to like produce a whole lot for Laban. But then the time came that Jacob wanted to leave. And what Laban does is Jacob says, hey, I want to leave and this is what I want you to do. I want you to give me all the cattle that are spotted, speckled, and, right? Remember that? And Laban said, okay, no problem. And you know what Laban does? He takes all the spotted and speckled cattle and takes them and gives them to his sons and leaves Jacob with no spotted speckled cattle. So Jacob, if he leaves, he's going to leave empty-handed. But what does Jacob end up doing? He ends up multiplying the flock. While Jacob is away, he stands as a sacrifice before the Father. His sacrifice is accepted. He is blessed with what the Father was offering. He's blessed with the, oh boy, and I'm just drawing a brain freeze here. He is given the promise. He is given the promise. And as he's given the promise, he's sent away. While he's away, he's working for his bride. He is multiplying the flock. And beloved, here's what I'm telling you. That if we want to know how to multiply the flock, we might learn a lesson or two from how Jacob multiplied the flock. The question is, how did he multiply the flock? How many of you are familiar with this story? All right, so let me tell you. Let's go. Genesis 29, and we're going to look at how Jacob multiplied this flock. Actually, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 30. Genesis chapter 30, and I want you to notice with me verses 26. Genesis 30, verse 26. So it says here, give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee. Let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if thou hast found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for thy sake. And he goes on to ask for the wages. We go through the whole thing of Jacob saying, give me the spotted and speckled animals, and that'll be my pay. And Jacob, instead of getting these spotted and speckled, he gets all the solid colored cattle. Laban takes all the speckled for his sons. So this is what Jacob does. Check this out, verse 37. And so Jacob took him rods of green poplar and of the hazel and chestnut tree and peeled white streaks in them and made the white appear which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had peeled before the flocks in the gutters, in the water troughs, when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle, ringstrake, speckled, and spotted. Pause for a second. I don't know if you get what's going on here. What Jacob does is he takes these tree branches and he peels stripes in them. And then he sets them in the water so that when the cattle and the flock come to drink and when they come to mate, they are actually beholding these striped branches. Trees. Wood. Striped wood. Okay, yeah. Striped wood. And when they behold the striped wood, they become. Beloved, listen to me. Jesus said, and I, if I be what? Lifted up, will draw all men unto me. What you behold, by beholding, we become changed. Beloved, you got to understand that the scripture is like the well of life. And when we come to the scripture, guess who we need to be looking for? We need to be looking for Jesus. And the Bible tells us that these that conceived before these striped branches, by the way, you know what the Bible tells us? The Bible tells us that by his stripes, we are healed. When we look to him and what he did for us, we become like him. And so, beloved, these cattle are now beholding these striped tree branches. And then he says, the Bible says that he would make the ones who beheld these striped branches, they would mate. But he would separate them from the ones who are not beholding the striped branches. Y'all not feeling me? The striped branch ones were strong. The ones who are not holding the striped branches were weak. Beloved, you want to be a strong Christian? You want to have a strong flock? Guess what? You need to be beholding Jesus. You need to be beholding Christ in all the scriptures. And this is exactly what Jacob is doing here. The strong flock are beholding. You see, by beholding, we become changed. And you multiply, like produces like. Strong Christian produces strong Christians. Listen to me, the devil doesn't care if you're not beholding Christ. Because all you're doing in your evangelism is producing weak Christians. Because weak produces weak. Strong produces strong. And so Jacob is having his flock behold the striped branches. Beloved, it is by beholding Christ on the cross that we become strong. It is by beholding Christ on the cross that our characters are changed, that we become like him. This is how he multiplies the flock. And if we want our churches to multiply, if we want our churches to become strong, guess what? We need to start learning how to behold Christ in the scriptures. We need to start learning how to behold Christ, and by beholding him, we become changed into his image. So, Jacob multiplies the flock. He multiplies the flock. And now, check this out. I want you to notice with me, Genesis chapter 31. Genesis chapter 31. The Bible says, and he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's, he has gotten all this glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return. Return, Jacob. It is time for you to return. Okay, wait. So Jacob stands as a sacrifice before the father to receive the blessing. When he receives the blessing, he is sent away. While he is away, he's working for his bride. He is multiplying the flock. When he has finished multiplying the flock, when the work of multiplying the flock is just about done, the father says to him, it's time to return. Okay, wait, who would have thought that the story that you guys have been reading, who would have thought that the story of Jacob and Esau was actually a snapshot into the great controversy? Who would have thought? So God says to Jacob, return. How many of you believe that Jesus is soon to return? He's going to return. So God says to Jacob, return. But he does not return alone, because check this out. In Genesis 32 verse 1, Genesis 32 verse 1, and Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. The angels are returning with him. You're not feeling me, man. They're not, no. The angels are with him as he is returning. Do you see this? Check this out. So return. But notice verse 3, same chapter, 32, verse 2. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of the place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, this shall ye speak unto my lord Esau, thy servant Jacob, say thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stay there until now. Pause, by the way. What is Esau's attitude towards Jacob as he's about to return? How does he feel? What does he think about Jacob? Does he misunderstand the character of Jacob? I got a question for you. Are there Esau's out there in the world today who misunderstand the character of Jesus? Now look, Jacob is about to return, but guess what? He wants to meet his brother in peace. No. He wants to meet his brother in peace. He's not coming like, man, I can't wait. You know my brother, when he threatened me? Yeah, it's payback time. That's not how Jacob is returning. Jacob wants to meet his brother in peace. So, the Bible says he sends servants, and he says in verse 5, I have oxen and asses, flocks and men servant and women servant, and I have sent to tell my Lord that I may find grace in thy sight. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we came to thy brother Esau, he also cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. So Jacob knows that Esau is angry, and Jacob, he's realizing, man, my brother is still, he's still got this attitude toward me, and he doesn't know what to do. So what does he do? Listen. Verse 13. And he lodged there the same night and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau his brother. 200 she-goats, 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milch camels and their colts, 40 kine and 10 bulls, 20 she asses and 10 foals. And he divided them into the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves, and said unto the servants, pass over before me, and put a space betwixt drove and drove. And he commanded the foremost, saying, when Esau my brother meeteth thee, and asketh thee, whose art thou, and whither goest thou, and whose are these before thee, then thou shalt say, they be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau, and behold, he also is behind us. And so command he the what? Second, and the what? Third, and all that follow the droves, saying, on this manner shall ye speak unto Esau when you find him. Whoa, wait a minute. Jacob is about to return, but before he returns, he separates his flocks into three droves with messengers in front of each drove. And these messengers are sent ahead of Jacob to soften the heart of Esau.
No.
Nah, it is just way too quiet. It is just way too quiet. Unless quiet is a new excitement, let me just be quiet with you for a moment. No, beloved, listen to me. Do you understand that the purpose of the three angels' messages is not to scare people to death, it is to soften the hearts of the Esaus of the world? These three messengers go before Jacob. Now, check this out. By the way, what is Jacob doing as these three messengers are going before him? Jacob goes in to wrestle with the Father alone. I know. You see, beloved, when Jacob is standing, as it were, before the Father, do you know what he's doing? He's pleading that Esau's heart be changed. Watch this. While Jacob is before his father pleading for the heart of Esau to be changed, three messengers are working in connection with his prayer. Oh, y'all not feeling me, man. Beloved, listen to me. Jesus is standing in the most holy place right now, pleading with the Father. For who? For the Esaus. You see, beloved, listen to me. The messengers that went before Jacob were not concerned with their safety. Their only concern was, come on, we've got to change the heart of Esau. No. You just missed something right there. They weren't thinking, will I obey? Will Jacob approve? No. Their concern was Esau. Esau, we've got to convince Esau that Jacob is not who he thinks he is. It was a selfless work. Man. They weren't sweating like, will Jacob eventually accept me too? Am I accepted of Jacob? No. Their concern was Esau. Esau, beloved, listen to me. In their selfless act of putting their lives on the line to save Esau, they were reflecting the character Beloved, if we want to pass the investigative judgment, we have to forget about self. We have to forget about, we have to be more concerned with what Jesus is concerned about. And Jesus is concerned about the Esaus of the world. And when we share his concern, guess what? We actually become like him. We now have his hands. We have on his garments. And we're not thinking, will I be saved? We're thinking, man, we got to get Esau's of the world prepared that when Jesus comes again, he'll be ready to meet them and they will be ready to meet him. You see, beloved, listen very carefully. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be the children of God. Beloved, we have to go forth thinking there are Esaus in the world, by the way, that do not understand the character of God. And let me tell you how I know this, because the Bible says that when Jesus comes again, the wicked will cry out and they will panic. And that is insanity. The wicked will be crying out to hide us from the wrath of the Lamb is insanity. And you're saying, how, Pastor? Listen to me. They cry out. The Bible says they cry out, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb that sits on the throne. I got a question for you. If you are walking down the street and someone bursts around a corner saying, run for your lives. And you're like, what is it? And they're like, a lamb, run for your lives. How many of you would think this guy is crazy? Beloved, Jesus is returning. He is the Lamb that sits on the throne. They don't understand that Jacob wasn't coming to try to overthrow Esau. He was coming because he wanted to meet his brother in peace. Beloved, God wants us to understand. He needs us to understand that the final message, the final revelation to go into the world is a revelation of Christ's character, which is a revelation of love. Our mission, the three angels' messages, is designed to show that God is not a vindictive God, that God is not a cruel God, that God is love. And beloved, listen to me. If the flock that Esau saw was just like scrawny and skinny and... No. The flock he saw was spotted and speckled and fat and healthy. And he had to look at that flock and say, wow, Jacob has been blessed. By looking at the flock, y'all not feeling me, man. By looking at the flock, you see, beloved, when the flock was beholding the striped branches, they became like those striped branches. They began to reflect the image of Jesus Christ. And so when Esau sees the flock, guess who he's seeing? He's seen the reflection of Jesus Christ, beloved. Do you realize that the cross of Calvary demonstrates that Christ is coming and wants to come only to embrace us? Think about it. If I say, hey, give me an embrace, what's the first thing we do? Where do our hands go? The cross demonstrates that Jesus only wants to embrace us. Come unto me, he said. Come, can I get a hug? I want to bring, listen, you want to know how he meets Jacob? Well, when Esau sees Jacob, check this out. Chapter 33. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids. And verse 4, check out verse 4. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him and wept. Beloved, I want to tell you something. In this verse, you have a picture of how God wants to meet his wayward children. He wants to embrace them. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Listen to me. When you have aught with someone, what is the principle? Matthew 18, what's the principle? You go to them yourself. If they don't hear you, what do? You take two witnesses. If they don't hear them, what do? You bring it before the church. If they won't hear the church, then what? You leave them alone. The church holds a major responsibility when it comes to reconciliation between people. Do you know that Jesus followed his own advice? Did he have aught with humanity? And so you know what he did? He came himself. Yeah, he left heaven, said, Father, you know, I have an issue. I need to go. Myself, I'll go. Not angels, I will go. And Jesus comes to earth. Hey, you know, I have some issues, man. You guys sinned. You know, do you want to repent? Do you want to? And you know what they did? They nailed him to the cross. Okay, so they don't want to hear me? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send two witnesses. Revelation 11. Two witnesses. Old and New Testament. How long do they testify? 1260 years. How do they treat the two witnesses? They kill them. All right? You don't want to hear the two witnesses? I'm going to raise up a church. 1844. If you don't hear the church, do you understand this? If you don't hear the church, beloved, we are Jesus' last line, and he's saying, listen, I love the Esau's of the world, and I need you, church. I need you to put a smile on your faces when you go out there with the three angels' messages, because you're representing me. Yes. I need you to understand what it means to reach down to those who are poor and who are needy. I need you to reach out to those who are angry. I need you to represent me while I am wrestling with the Father, pleading those last final moments of mercy for the Esau's of the world. I need you to be working in accordance with me. And beloved, this is why if we don't care about the Esau's of the world, we are not caring about the wrestle that Jesus is doing on their behalf. There is one more story in the Bible, one that ends almost the same way as this story, where Esau runs to meet Jacob and falls on his neck and weeps and kisses him. You know there's another story, right? It's the story of the prodigal. But in this story, check it out, in this story, it's the father that runs, falls upon the neck of the wayward child, and kisses him and weeps. Beloved, bring those two stories together. You have a picture of what God would like to see happen at the second coming. The father running to meet his children and his wayward children who have now seen the truth of God's character through his flock that will be prepared to embrace him when he comes again. Amen. Beloved, we have a mission. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. It's not just about having the mouth of Jesus and being able to speak the doctrines. It's about having the hands of Jesus. Amen. It's about having the garments of Jesus covering us so that when the Father smells us, yeah, you've been in the field. Amen. That's my son. My son is in the field. Your hands are the hands of the firstborn. Your clothing is the clothing of the firstborn. You are covered so that when Christ looks at you, he doesn't see you because his eyes are dim. He sees his son. He sees his firstborn. Let us represent him. Let our hearts be set on fire and let us give him the glory.